Hunter, I think you're being disrespectful now. And I think I may have to address this with the board of directors. You're being disrespectful.
I don't think that you understand.
Oh my God! Wait a minute. Lesnar, that's the CEO that Lesnar's attacking.
What is he doing?
Somebody out here. Lesnar assaulting Triple H from behind and he's mugging him. That's the CEO of this company. Lesnar's attacking the CEO of the company.
Brock Lesnar has snapped
and Triple H trying to fight back in the game. And Lesnar. And Lesnar.
Oh, no.
The Kimura. This is the Kimura. The submission hold that Lesnar used on Cena last night. That severely damaged Cena's arm. And Lesnar's got it locked in on Triple H.
Get in there. Somebody get in there. Break his arm.
He's the CEO of this company. I think he may have broke his arm.
Yo, my name's Rowdy Roddy Piper, and when I'm around, I listen to Smack Pop Radio Live. You know why I'm so smart? Because you don't.
Quick Take, running down the week that was.
Well, it's been a while, but finally Smack Talk Radio Live is back on the air.
Finally!
I'm Corey Callahan, sitting alongside James McDonald. James, how you doing today?
I'm doing real good, buddy. How about yourself?
Very well. It has been a whirlwind of the last few weeks for you and I.
No kidding. Do we even really want to go into all the lengthy details about...
No.
No.
I'm right. Just going to say this. To everyone listening to our radio show, we apologize.
Indeed.
We had to take a little absence. We had a lot of personal things to take care of. I mean, for me personally... You know, I had to do my income taxes, which I have my own business, so it is quite
the... You know what? People listening, they don't care.
No, they don't.
They're just happy we're back on the air.
There you go.
So here we are, and we're doing the quick take tonight.
Yeah, well, just figured we haven't really got into the WWE intricately for the last little while, really since WrestleMania.
I would agree.
I figured instead of doing a full-blown episode of the show that we like to call Smack Talk Radio Live, I figured we'd just break it down and call it quick take tonight and just talk about the WWE storylines and what's happening on Monday Night Raw.
And just what's going on in the past 7 days. I mean, we just had a really good pay-per-view in Extreme Rules happened on Sunday. And then I thought it was a pretty decent Raw the very next night. So, yeah, I think we got a little bit to chat about.
It's been an interesting 48 hours in WWE in terms of storylines, and I'm sure we're going to jump right into it here tonight. Before we do that, though, James, let me just remind everyone, www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, and if you're hip and cool to the scene, at SRL Radio on Twitter. We actually had one follower subscribe to us today on Twitter, James.
One follower, that's...
It is.
One more than we've had in a while.
Well, that now brings us to 1,000,001.
There you go.
Anyways, that was weak. All right, let's get into it, James. Extreme Rules just happened this past Sunday. A pay-per-view coming from Chicago, Illinois, and one that they typically like to advertise as being very extreme, different from normal wrestling shows that you might see on television.
And I thought they delivered very well on it. I thought it was a great show. Most of the matches were very solid. You had a great match between CM Punk and Chris Jericho. I mean, Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. They treated everybody to the match of the night after the booking of WrestleMania.
This was their chance to repay what the fans didn't get to see at WrestleMania.
And then, of course, you had that Brock Lesnar and John Cena main event, which was, quite honestly, unlike anything I've really seen before in watching professional wrestling. I mean,
really? You thought it was that good? Eh?
There were points where I was almost uncomfortable watching that. I mean, it seemed like Lesnar was really out to harm John Cena. I mean, the elbow to the head that busted him open the hard way and the color was really great, I thought. Mm-hmm. It was just something that you don't really see on WWE TV very much anymore.
Well, we're going to come back to John Cena and Brock Lesnar. I'm sure that's going to be a very serious topic here tonight on Quick Take. But just... quick thoughts on the rest of Extreme Rules before we get into it. I mean, I never ended up seeing this match, James, but you saw The Miz versus Santino Marella?
Yeah, on YouTube, the pre-show. Yeah, it was not a bad match. I kind of thought that The Miz should have went over, because I mean, it's the first time you're doing a pre-match on YouTube like this. Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of nice to see the title change hands just to, you know, kind of make it a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a surprise, like you really want to be there to tune into mm-hmm. this pre-show that's happening on YouTube before the pay-per-view, right?
Let me just say this. I think that WWE showing matches on YouTube before a pay-per-view happens to try and sell those last-minute subscribers to the pay-per-view, brilliant idea.
Absolutely.
I think it's an excellent idea. And let me just say, not many people are aware, but the UFC, for example, they do an entire two-hour show that is Facebook only before their UFC pay-per-views.
And they've been very successful with that. And
it's such a good idea. And I'll tell mm-hmm. you this, like, I've worked those shows, and it, for me, as a camera guy, when I work on the UFC pay-per-views, it means an extra 3 hours in the end of having a camera on my shoulder. But the guys in the truck have told me that, you know, the ratings for the Facebook UFC shows are through the roof.
Really?
People are logging on to Facebook to watch these matches before the pay-per-view. And whether or not they buy the pay-per-view or not, it's probably irrelevant because the free advertising that's coming, regardless,
it's making them money. And the exposure's there.
And it's hyping up the pay-per-view exactly. before it happens. So with the WWE partnering up with YouTube and using this to promote pay-per-views, excellent idea.
Yep. No, I got to totally agree with you there. My second thought on this quickly was, how far has The Miz fallen in the last year, hey?
Like,
you've got a guy who was main eventing. He won the main event of WrestleMania 27, and now here we are, a year and a little bit later, and he's not even on the pay-per-view. He's the free pre-match.
I've said this before. One of the fastest downfalls in any wrestler's history, I'd have to say. I mean,
Him and Jack Swagger, they're almost tied.
That's true. You're right. Chris Jericho, what did you think of Chris Jericho at Extreme Rules?
I thought it was a really good match. Different from their WrestleMania 28 match. This one had a little bit more of a personal grudge type of feel to it. So I thought this was really cool. It had some really good spots in it.
It was supposed to be a street fight.
Yeah, it was.
And do you feel the street fight moniker delivered in this match?
Yeah, I would have to say so. I mean, what is a Chicago street fight? That was the question I was kind of asking myself. What differentiates it from basically a no disqualification, false mm-hmm. count anywhere match, agree. Right?
My biggest gripe with this match was I just felt like these two could put on a better match. I thought to myself, is this the best that these two have? I just feel like...
a lot of people were saying that this match was better than the WrestleMania one. I personally disagree, but...
I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch the WrestleMania before I could answer that. But I just feel like, for example, like when Punk almost fell off the top rope before he did the elbow to the outside. I know that's irrelevant. I know it's minor.
It is kind of nitpicking. But.
It is. And there was these little things that I just felt like even those two guys were probably a little disappointed with. And I, for that reason alone, I don't think that is the best match we will see of these guys. I'm thinking that we probably have one more left with these two. What do you think? No?
No. I'd probably...
You think it's done?
I'd say... definitely. I mean, look at what happened on Raw, which we'll get to a little bit later. But, I mean, that was a good match for the feud to end. I mean, they've been feuding since January. So, I mean, that's 4 months. That's, long enough.
Okay. Well, maybe that is the end of that. Then.
I think so. I think that was the payoff there.
All right. Well, let's talk about Extreme Rules. Brock Lesnar, John Cena.
Oh, man. What a match. Great match all the way up to the finish. I mean, I've heard a lot of other people say that too, and I'm in total agreement with that. I don't understand why John Cena won this match. It does not make any sense to me. It takes away from the mystique of the monster heel that Brock Lesnar is supposed to come in here and be. And
it's actually we've talked about this before. What Vince McMahon likes to do at pay-per-views, he likes to give that swerve ending, and it's possible that everyone thought Brock Lesnar was just going to run through John Cena and come out with the victory. And if that happened, we would have all been probably disappointed with the outcome of the pay-per-view, I would think, because we were all expecting it. It seemed almost painfully obvious that Lesnar was going to beat Cena.
I know. I disagree. I honestly think that the WWE could have really done a lot more if they had Brock Lesnar win this match, because, I mean, then... I don't know. I don't think it's
smart. Well, you're definitely silencing the monster gimmick for Brock Lesnar.
And, I mean, he's losing his very first match back. Like, yeah, it totally takes away from the...
Do you think that this has anything to do with Vince McMahon wanting to prove that a WWE wrestler can still beat a UFC champion?
Oh, I'm sure ego might have a little bit of influence into the booking decision of this match, but still, I mean...
Okay, well, let's talk about it. Is it a good idea for Vince McMahon to put Cena over Lesnar at Extreme Rules?
I don't think so, because, I mean... They could have made way more money if they had Brock Lesnar go forward as this undefeated monster heel, and then you have John Cena maybe go away for a little bit and then come back and then maybe get his revenge in a match further on down the road, and people would pay money at a pay-per-view to see that. Well, but now that you've had John Cena go over, and you know, the very first match that they have together, it's...
Like, Cena's your top guy.
Yeah, he is, but are you going to want to see a rematch now between these two? Now that John Cena's already... Exactly.
Yeah, and
so they're throwing away money right there.
And I'm surprised that they've rushed this along so much because, well, let me rephrase that. Am I surprised? It's the WWE. Not really. But
nothing surprises me these days.
Well, I'm just talking in terms of rushing storylines. Yeah. Because you, in my eyes with Lesnar, if you do have a year-long window, you want to feed him a couple guys in the early months. And then as you head into WrestleMania, you might want to give Lesnar and Cena a match at WrestleMania. Or you at least want to use Cena and Lesnar for SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. So for you to just... For Brock Lesnar to return to the WWE, go straight to John Cena, and then lose to him, the momentum is gone now.
Totally. It's totally gone.
And you've just lost to the top guy. So, to me, it's like...
It's a weird booking decision.
It is. It's a very bizarre decision because the momentum's gone now.
It is.
And I'm thinking that Vince McMahon probably does want to show the world that, you know... A former UFC champion.
My top guy can beat their top guy.
But there's also more to it than that. Like, there's also this whole aspect that, because realistically, Brock Lesnar should absolutely kill John Cena in a match, right? If the mystery of wrestling was still alive and everyone was thinking, you know, in terms of in-ring ability and athleticism and what they've done before, like, realistically, people should be saying, oh, Lesnar's going to kill Cena. But in wrestling, we've all come to accept this idea that storylines and swerves happen, and
we've all come to accept the idea that professional wrestling is a work now, right?
And there's a bit of a soap opera to it, right?
Yes.
And by having Brock Lesnar lose that match at Extreme Rules, you're basically throwing that idea out the window and saying that, look, it doesn't matter who you are in the WWE, if momentum is going your way and it's your time to win.
Yep.
It's your time to win. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No, I do. I get...
And I don't like that decision. I'm saying that that's a bad thing. Like, Vince McMahon is just throwing it all out the window and saying it doesn't matter who you are, you'll still lose to John Cena if I say it.
Well, they could have had a big match down the road.
And it could have been a slow build. And you know what?
Absolutely.
And what we saw on Monday Night Raw this week with Lesnar and Triple H, again... You're rushing this idea because why are we feeding the only real other guy above John Cena? There's maybe one more guy, and that would be The Undertaker. But really, like, if you're losing to Cena, then you've lost to the top guy in the company. Who's higher than John Cena in the hierarchy of the WWE? It's Triple H. So you're just going to feed Triple H to Brock Lesnar next? Because that's what's going
to
happen here.
Is it feeding Triple H to Brock Lesnar, or is it Triple H inserting himself?
Do you think this is a year-long contract where Brock Lesnar just loses along the way, proving that he's washed up and that the WWE is still going strong?
An interesting theory, but no.
No, like, at some point he's going to win here and he's going to come out looking great. And if whether it's John Cena or whether it's Triple H, I'm just surprised that they are rushing immediately to Triple H. Here, you know, that's something you could have built to SummerSlam. Like, who's Lesnar going to take on at SummerSlam? Right. We've already gone through Cena and Triple H. I mean, to me, at some point, we're going to see The Undertaker with Lesnar.
I think Undertaker-Lesnar is going to be next year's WrestleMania match.
I'm hearing rumors that by SummerSlam, it'll be Lesnar and Randy Orton. But again, we're just running through guys until we get to WrestleMania, and who's that ultimate guy?
Well, you also got to remember that Lesnar's only got 30 appearances that he has to make, and he's already made 5 of them. So you got to imagine now that they're going to spread out the rest of his appearances sporadically.
I guess I'm just really surprised that they are feeding the top guys of the WWE to Lesnar so fast.
Well,
even though it's not feeding them because Lesnar lost to Cena, I'm just saying you're rushing these potential opponents for Lesnar, in my opinion. Honestly, I would have liked to have seen Lesnar run through Cena, and then he runs through a couple other guys, and then eventually he gets so out of control and so outlandish and over the top, and his demands are ridiculous, like they've rushed on Monday Night Raw already, that Triple H has to step in and intervene and put his foot down, saying that he is the guy in charge of the WWE, and that Lesnar, you know, you can run through everyone else, but you're not running through me.
Well, isn't that kind of what they did on Raw? It's just they did it right away.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, and I don't like that. Like, to me, that's a few months build at least.
Well, I don't know. I can see what you're saying, but on the other hand, the guy does only have a limited number of appearances, so you've only got so much time to build things up with these top guys that you're going to throw against him, right?
So, okay, so what do you think about Lesnar and Triple H then? I mean, I know you're trying to be devil's advocate, I understand, but, like, what are your honest thoughts of seeing Lesnar and Triple H this Monday on Raw?
Well, it's the logical progression to what's happened. I mean, due to the demands that he made to John Laurinaitis, it is logical that Triple H would step in, being the role that he's in, and say, yeah, obviously you can't have these demands. It is, I don't know.
Look at you and I. We're so, you're so rational and I'm not.
Like,
no, I understand what you're saying.
It's, I think Lesnar versus Triple H would be, you know, a good match down the road here. Yes, I do agree with you. They're kind of rushing it a little bit here, but.
Like, are we going to see it at Over the Limit?
No. I think it'd probably be a little bit farther down the road. Because, I mean, they've just, WWE has just, quote unquote, suspended Brock Lesnar for his attack on Triple H. So that's essentially a way to write him off TV for a little bit until they've decided when his next, when his next feud's going to be. And which everybody, of course, is saying it's going to be Triple H.
I mean, SummerSlam 2012 doesn't happen until August 19th. So we have a ways to go for Lesnar to get there. So I can't see Lesnar versus Triple H at SummerSlam.
I don't know. I would almost think that Lesnar's appearances would be more heavy towards the latter part of the year as opposed to now.
I mean, I would think that if with his limited amount of dates, they'd probably use him on the major pay-per-views. And this extreme rules being the exception because, you know, he came back with a bang the night after WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So you'd want him to be there for the first pay-per-view. You'll probably see him trail off for a little bit, I would think.
Well, think about this. Between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, how many appearances do you think he's going to make there? 7? 8?
At that point, that's going to be like a weekly appearance, I think.
Right? Because you've got...
Rumble. You'll see Elimination Chamber. What,
maybe 11, 12 Raws? And then you've got SmackDowns as well?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can renegotiate, though. I'm just saying that I feel like it's rushed. I feel like that's my
point. I hear what you're saying. But it is the logical progression. But on the other hand, could this just be Triple H inserting himself, like I just mentioned before, into what's obviously the hottest thing in wrestling right now? We've seen him do it so many times before in the past.
Anytime Triple H is on TV, I like it.
Yeah.
Triple H makes wrestling believable. Look how he came in and told Lesnar that he's not taking
Triple H in any way, shape, or form.
I'm just saying, he comes out on Raw and he puts his foot down to the private jet and all these perks that he negotiated with John Laurinaitis. And just the way Triple H came out and sold what he was trying to say works for me. And he's still got it in the ring. He puts on excellent matches.
Yeah.
I mean, he's coming off one of the greatest matches ever at WrestleMania 28. So, you know, the heat's not off. He hasn't cooled down in any way, is what I'm trying to say. I'm just surprised that they rushed this. Don't put Lesnar and Triple H this quick after John Cena.
Let me throw this at you then. Who would you put Lesnar against next? I mean, you've already just had him lose to John Cena.
Well, I think it's not out of the realm of possibility.
CM Punk?
Randy Orton. That's a guy that's a guy that could go with him, have a few, you know, have at least two good matches on a pay-per-view. You could buy 4 months, let's say, selling the idea of Orton and Lesnar, and it would be interesting. And you're at that point buying time until a bigger pay-per-view, such as SummerSlam, and then you put possibly, I still think this is rushing it, but you could put Triple H and Lesnar at SummerSlam, or you could put someone, you know, unless the plan is to put Undertaker versus Lesnar at WrestleMania, you got to have Undertaker at Lesnar one more time. While he's under contract.
I think that's definitely going to be next year's WrestleMania, is Lesnar versus Undertaker. I think that's going to be the pinnacle of Lesnar's tenure his run, I guess you could say, right now with the WWE.
The only reason I don't really like that idea is because we've seen it a few times before in 2003.
But it's different now because now they've got this quote-unquote personal heat between them because of that.
One interview is going to sell millions of dollars? I know, it's terrible, but it's probably
true. Hey, man, you know just how the WWE machine works as well as I do. They'll make that a huge selling point.
So that alone is what sells Undertaker versus Lesnar.
You know they'll do that.
Yeah. Well, then if you're going to have Undertaker and Lesnar at WrestleMania, then to me, you probably put Orton, Lesnar at SummerSlam, or I guess you put Triple H versus Lesnar at SummerSlam. But I still think that Triple H is sort of the last guy that Lesnar should go through if you really want to say in the end that the WWE is winning this battle between Lesnar and the WWE.
You know, I honestly, personally, I'd like to see Brock Lesnar versus like one of these squash machines that they got going right now, like either Brodus Clay or Ryback. I don't know about Ryback.
No, it's not a bad idea.
I'm really on the fence about this Ryback.
They're not going to give Ryback that quick of a spotlight, though.
Man, speaking of Ryback, let's talk about about him at Extreme Rules. Can you believe that they actually gave him a match on the pay-per-view with two hometown jobbers when you got guys in the back who are fighting for spots on pay-per-views and on TV?
I love how they give the guys mic time. The two local guys, they actually give them mic time.
Can you imagine being one of these guys who's traveled on the road for years with the WWE and you're languishing in the low card or low mid card? You're not even on the pay-per-view, and here's these two 180-pound local guys, and they get mic time on the pay-per-view as well.
But you got to remember that these guys are local community wrestling guys, and when they get that call to just lose to Ryback in under a minute, that's still a
huge deal. That's huge for
them,
yes. So that's
such a little perk as the WWE comes to your town. You know, they make contact with the local wrestling organization, and they say, can you give us two guys who, you know, we're going to come out and get squashed by Ryback. That could actually go on for a few months. It's not a bad little idea.
Wow.
I understand with what you're saying where other WWE wrestlers are not getting that call, but they're under contract anyways, and there's always next show.
So your argument is they're getting paid no matter what.
Basically. I guess. But they do get paid per appearance, right? Like, they get paid based on appearance. So you want to be wrestling as many shows as possible.
Oh, of course.
So it's not like you have somewhat of a right to be ticked off, but I don't know. I kind of like that local element if they go with that for a while with Ryback. If they just, week in and week out, you see him squash a local guy, and that local guy gets 30 seconds on the microphone and a little crowd pop, and there you go.
Well, let me pose this to you. Do you think that we're going to see a change in the Ryback gimmick or character due to the huge negative response that we got from the Chicago crowd?
Well, I think he's awfully similar to Goldberg, for sure.
The crowd just
Best part about
they
Ryback.
Pissed on him.
No, but to me, the best part about Ryback is the Goldberg chants. I laugh so hard when I hear that.
That's the best part about the Chicago crowd is because they're all.
You're going to hear that outside.
They're all
Chicago.
Smart wrestling fans in Chicago, right? It's just one of those places that they go, and it's.
Yeah.
I don't know. When you have a crowd like that, it totally enhances the show, I think.
For sure, the crowd means everything. But I just really liked how they are they're realizing that this is another Vince McMahon creation of the Goldberg character.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, maybe it's Vinnie Mac's version. I don't know.
We have a good Ryback story recently.
Oh, Chili's.
You and I were sitting at a Chili's restaurant in Miami when we were down there for WrestleMania. And who walks onto the patio and sits like three tables over but
Skip Sheffield, better known as Ryback.
Yeah, he was there for a birthday party.
And you wanted to buy him a beer.
No, I didn't. But what's funny is that this was right after the Hall of Fame ceremony in downtown Miami.
Right.
You and I and my girlfriend and Rob, we all left the Hall of Fame ceremony.
We all went to get, we were so hungry.
And we went to Chili's. And like, honestly, James, we literally walked out of the stadium, across the street, into a restaurant.
Yep.
Like no more than 20 minutes after the Hall of Fame ceremony was over. And here's Skip Sheffield sitting down with his friends. And he's already like in his street clothes. Like he could not have gotten out of that tuxedo fast enough. Really?
Yeah.
Some of the wrestlers probably hadn't even left the building. He had already changed out of his tuxedo, and he was over at Chili's
eating.
Wasn't
it his birthday or something like that, too?
He was celebrating someone's birthday.
Oh, someone's birthday. That's right. That's right.
But like he had got there fast, and he was out of his tuxedo as quick as possible.
Wow. You know, he's only there for appearances, obviously.
That's just funny, though. That was good.
So, Extreme Rules, overall, what did you think about it?
I liked it. I liked that they, first of all, with the we haven't really talked about it, but the Lesnar-Cena match, I really liked how right off the bat they busted Cena open, and Lesnar did it in a really credible way. And
the blood was a beautiful visual for a pay-per-view called Extreme Rules. I thought they did a very good job of delivering on the extreme aspect of it.
And I just felt that was just such a good that was such good storytelling for that match. And immediately, you know, you have the refs. You have the refs putting on the plastic gloves. They actually stopped the match at one point. A trainer looked at Cena. You know, it was all very real looking. And there was just that amateur way that it just looked spontaneous.
It looked like a shoot almost.
Yeah, and that was a beautiful way to start the match because the fans in the stadium didn't know how to react. Mm. And, oh my God, Cena's been busted open already. Like, we haven't even really started the match yet. To me, excellent way to start the match.
Oh, and you're immediately thinking, this Lesnar guy is just, he's a killer. He wants to seriously harm John Cena. And like I was saying before, you know, it made you kind of antsy in your seat to watch at some points.
And did you think that Brock Lesnar was in shape when he took his shirt off?
Well, he definitely wasn't in as good a shape as he was 10 years ago, obviously. But yeah, he's definitely not out of shape, if that's what you're asking.
No, I was surprised.
I mean, he's a little bit bigger. He's got a little bit more mass to him than he did 10 years ago. But
no, it's to be expected. He didn't look bad.
He looked very in shape.
And he probably will look even more in ring shape as he continues on the road, right?
What did you think of his gear?
I liked it. Yeah. It's legitimate. Like, they're really pushing this word legitimate, right? Mm-hmm. That's the big one.
And it's the whole reality era that we're into now, right?
Well, that, but with Brock Lesnar, they're really pushing this that Brock left, you know, sports entertainment to go to actual in-ring fighting, and now he's come back. So they don't want to make it look like this is soap opera, really. They're trying to stray away from the soap opera aspect to it and the, you know, the over-the-top and acting antics, and now they're coming back with a legitimate main event. And it's a lot opposite to what we're seeing on the rest of Monday Night Raw, but for that 20 minutes that Lesnar is out there, you know, it's intense. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Oh, very much so.
And that main event at Extreme Rules definitely brought that feeling to the pay-per-view, that it was a legitimate match, and that, you know, and Chicago's lucky because they had the other best example, which was Money in the Bank last year.
It seems like whenever they go to Chicago, they have a good show, you know? Yeah.
Maybe they
should just go to Chicago every pay-per-view, maybe.
Meanwhile, Vancouver's getting shows canceled at the Agrodome.
Oh, it's terrible, isn't it?
Well, not canceled. The next one that will be successful, I promise. The last house show in Vancouver was successful.
They got to get in a GM place.
I'm just saying, the opposite cities, you know, Chicago's so opposite from Vancouver, but regardless. All right, let's move on to Monday Night Raw. The major storyline throughout Monday Night Raw, James, was the Beat the Clock Challenge. And this was, you had guys who, the first match would set the first time. And so however long it took to pin your opponent, the next match, the winner of that match would have to beat that time
in order to progress.
Basically meaning you have to pin your opponent faster than the previous match.
Exactly.
And I think they did about four rounds of this.
They did five.
Five.
It was five matches.
Ultimately ending with
Daniel Bryan versus Jerry Lawler.
That's right. And you know,
what do you think of the whole Beat the Clock kind of gimmick that they have?
Well, I know what you're going to say about it, but my feeling is that they shouldn't do it. It's not that exciting to me.
No, you're right. It does not excite me very much at all.
To me, the biggest issue I have with the Beat the Clock Challenge is that it's a little unfair. You give the last two guys the most fair shot of winning the whole thing.
Exactly. You're pretty much screwed. If you're the first match in a Beat the Clock Challenge, you're pretty much screwed.
Well, not really, because if you beat your opponent in 3 seconds, then they're saying that, you know, those guys have to beat their opponent in 3 seconds. But to me, it's just an unfair advantage that you know what you're going to, you know what you need to do before you walk into your match if you are the last competitor.
Right.
If, you know, if you're the first match.
No, I know what you're saying.
You're just trying to beat the guy as quick as possible. At least if you're the last guys, you're going in knowing that, okay, I have, you know, 4 minutes and 16 seconds and I have to do it and under that. To me, that's just a bit of an advantage. And my issue with that is why do those last two get that advantage? Like, what gives Daniel Bryan and Jerry Lawler the advantage over the first original two guys?
Yeah, no, it's
a tiny thing. I get that. But I just for that reason alone, I'm not a fan of the Beat the Clock Challenge.
No.
No.
Yeah, no, I got to agree. It's to me, it screams on the fly booking. You know what I mean? And that just seems what's to me, that seems what's going on ever since WrestleMania. It seems like they've been booking the night of the show almost.
It's a cheap storyline to get you through Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. The very first match in the Beat the Clock Challenge, it was a rematch between The Miz and Santino Marella. So we got to see The Miz lose the previous night, and then he wins the next night.
And what was the second match? Do you remember?
The second match was... I know the match after that, it was Brodus Clay and I believe Dolph Ziggler. And I like... Or was it... Man, that's so bad. I can't even remember.
Well, regardless. I don't even need to go through this. I just wanted to get to the end where Daniel Bryan is the guy that takes it.
Exactly. But, I mean, again, as soon as Jerry Lawler's music hit and he's coming to the ring to face Daniel Bryan, you know that he's going to lose.
Why?
I'm sorry. Jerry Lawler's not going over Daniel Bryan, number one. And number two, it's just, you got one of the hottest things going right now in Daniel Bryan. And I don't know, just to me personally, as soon as I saw that he was facing Jerry Lawler, immediately that said to me, okay, Daniel Bryan's winning this whole thing. And he did. He had like a good 2 minutes to spare.
So Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk for the title at Over the Limit.
Yes, very excited about this.
Really, you're excited, even though we just saw these two have a bit of a mini program heading into WrestleMania.
Yep, I'm still excited about this. This is going to be better than those matches, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we could have a potential feud of the year happening here if they stretch it out long enough.
If they stretch it out. This could just be a 3-week build to Over the Limit.
I think this is going to go past Over the Limit.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Here's something that's interesting. We got Daniel Bryan. He's now in the main storyline on both Raw and SmackDown. So what do you think about that?
Well, I'm sure that'll change because he just lost the championship to Sheamus, and they're shifting him away from that, and they're going to give him airtime on Monday Night Raw. I think you're going to see him dissolve from SmackDown for a little while.
Do you? Because he was featured very prominently on this week's SmackDown.
And what happened on this week's SmackDown?
Well, he wrestled Sheamus twice.
Mm-hmm.
The first time he wrestled, the match was thrown out due to a disqualification.
Yeah.
Because Alberto Del Rio got involved.
But that was before Extreme Rules, right? Or are you reading...
No. This is what's happening tomorrow, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just one show after Extreme Rules. I think you're going to see him dissolve from SmackDown over Raw. Yeah.
It's quite possible. But...
Or maybe they'll bring CM Punk over to SmackDown and have them boost the ratings there for a little bit.
Yeah, that's also possible as well. I'd personally like to see more unification happen within the product. I wouldn't mind seeing the unified title come back. What about you?
I'm against the whole thing. We've discussed this on the show before. I don't want to see a brand merge. No. Keep the brand separate.
No.
Regardless, anything else you want to talk about on Monday Night Raw this week? I mean, we had the Lesnar Triple H attack. We had the Beat the Clock Challenge. We have the other big news, which would be John Cena taking on John Laurinaitis at Over the Limit.
Well, here's very interesting to me because what did Triple H lose the job for? He lost the job because he was getting physical with the talent, right? Now you got John Laurinaitis making himself a match with John Cena. Could we see John Laurinaitis get fired here soon?
Interesting point. I've never thought about that before.
Right?
Well, what do you think?
It'd be...
what do you think about Laurinaitis and Cena?
I think there's definitely going to be a response from the board of directors with this whole thing going down between Laurinaitis
and Cena.
Well,
it's the first time we've ever seen Laurinaitis get physical with one of his talent.
Yeah.
And not just Cena, but
like
anyone, right?
Like this is exactly. Yeah. This is gonna be a full match too. I mean, I think obviously he's gonna have Tensai and Sakamoto helping him, throughout the whole thing, but
my biggest problem with this is here you have the night before at Extreme Rules, Cena telling the world that he's being forced to take a holiday. I mean, that's what it sounded like to me.
That's totally what it sounded like to me too.
And then he's back on Monday Night Raw the next night, hyping up a match at the next pay per view.
In 3 weeks.
So where is this?
Telling you, on the fly.
Is it 3 weeks? Is it 3 weeks when Over the Limit is?
Dude, they're going to have 3 pay-per-views in 7 weeks. What do you think about that? Is that pay-per-view overload to you? Like, do you think that's fair of the WWE to ask you to shell out, $55 for the high-def version of a pay-per-view 3 times in 7 weeks?
So May 20th. So yeah, 3 weeks. Crazy. So, John, where's this holiday coming in?
Apparently it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of people were saying that he was supposed to go on the holiday because he was going to be filming the third Marine movie, but apparently that's being given to The Miz now.
So that's why they're.
So that's why that's saying. Why he's not going on holidays or
so
taking
he said
time
something
off
when
anymore.
He wasn't. He just shouldn't have said anything, is what you're saying.
Well, it's quite possible, because apparently you heard the reports about Lesnar throwing this tantrum backstage after Cena cut this promo.
This promo of Cena's at the end of Extreme Rules, I don't think was on the script, and I don't think really a lot of people saw it coming. But the stuff he said, I mean, really, it's not making sense to what happened on Monday Night Raw.
It sounded like they told him beforehand, yeah, you just go out there, you know, take a beating from Brock, and then, you know, get the win, and then you're going to go on holidays. So he goes out there, says what he said, and then the very next night, they're like, well, we kind of changed our minds.
Yeah, and now he's taking on holidays. I don't know. It's weird. I'm sure we'll probably hear something about that down the road, but I don't know what to make of that at this point.
To me, it totally reminds me of like a lighter version of the Stone Cold Steve Austin Vince McMahon feud. Would you agree?
When Austin would just not show up on television and no one really understood why?
No. I'm the whole thing between Cena and John Laurinaitis. Would you
on a much smaller scale.
That's what I'm saying. It's a lighter version. Would you agree it's almost a kind of lighter parallel?
Yet. It is a parallel, but we're not there yet.
Oh, no, it's not. Obviously, it's not to the Stone Cold and Vince had, right?
Yeah, but all it is a superstar feuding with the authority figure. We've seen it many a time.
Rehashed, of course, yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was interesting to see Laurinaitis beat him down, though. I thought that was interesting.
Hit him with the mic, yeah. He didn't look too bad, actually.
I bet you we'd be surprised to see how well John Laurinaitis does in the ring.
Hey, the guy used to work, so, I mean, you don't really lose it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Not going to be the main event on the Over-the-Line interview, though. Would you agree?
No, the way WWE's booking these days, God. It would not surprise me, man.
I can't believe you're even considering that.
Hey, come on.
No, it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk, for sure. They're going to give these two, because these two are friends behind the scenes, and this is going to give these two guys the spotlight to tell a story that they want to tell, right? These are two guys that legitimately love professional wrestling, and now they're getting the opportunity to work together, and they're going to give them a ball, and they're going to run with it.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think that Over the Limit is going to be hurt buy rate-wise by not having a major superstar attached to it, like, say, The Rock or Brock Lesnar?
No, I've told you this on a show a few weeks back. This is a transitional time for the WWE. It's a developmental time for the WWE. You're going to see a lot of new guys who don't normally get that camera time. They're going to get it for the next few months.
Right, but my question is this going to hurt the buy rate, not having like a major name attached to the pay-per-view, though?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think it'll hurt the buy rate, and then all of a sudden Punk and Bryan will maybe get blamed for poor pay-per-view buys?
Well, the one way of looking at it would be that they know they're going to get poor pay-per-view buys regardless, because it's the post-WrestleMania lull, right? It's standard, and you're not, unless you have a hot, hot, hot angle like what you saw last year with Punk and Cena with Money in the Bank. I mean, you're not going to see that, right? That's not there at this point.
I think for Over the Limit, WWE is banking on this CM Punk Daniel Bryan feud for sure,
and it'll probably last for a while.
I mean, this has the IWC just drooling, right? This dream match between two Ring of Honor alumni, right?
Just indie wrestlers in general are looking forward to a match with Punk and.
Well,
and,
it's
and,
no, I think Daniel it's good. Bryan. It's good that they finally put two guys together who basically have made their own names in their own. You know what I mean? They built themselves up. It wasn't that they were pushed by the people behind the stage. They genuinely got themselves over with the fans through their skill and
genuinely paid their dues.
Exactly.
So here's this is like two of those guys finally getting their time to shine, and they're gonna headline Over the Limit. I promise you.
Oh, I'm very whether they do or not. I'm very excited for the match heading into Over the Limit, and I'm excited to see how this program is gonna progress between the two. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we got to switch gears. Quickly, WWE releasing their financial results this morning.
Right.
With their first quarter of 2012 quarterly investment conference call. Very interesting to watch today. The WWE stock, it skyrocketed 10% today.
That's huge.
Can you believe that? So the WWE announced their, their financial results. Everything is up across the board from last year's first quarter in 2011. So, you know, optimism across the financial board for WWE today. I'm going to say artificial optimism at this point, because really they just announced details of one quarter of 2012. You don't get too excited is what I'm trying to say.
Do we get into it in more depth next week or no?
Yes, on the post-to-post report.
All right, on.
All right, James, we got to get out of here. This was Smack Talk Radio Live's Quick Take. www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, at SRL Radio on Twitter. Anything else you want to talk about?
Don't forget about our email, onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. If you got something interesting to say, you got an opinion, you just want to join the conversation. I mean, this is a show by the fans, for the fans. It's something we've always said. So come on, let your voices be heard. Let us know what you think.
We will be back Thursday with a full episode. Or sorry, no, we're back Monday.
Monday.
I'm tired.
Are we going to actually do an SRL on a Monday night? I'm excited. Let's break down this week's Monday Night Raw.
Sounds good. All right, we're back Monday. I'm Corey Callahan.
I am James McDonald.
We'll talk to you on Monday, hopefully. Nah, just kidding. We'll be there.
We will be there.